Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin.
Hello.
Hello. You've had your hair done.
I know.
Mariano's had a go at it.
Flo and Co in Whitstable.
Yeah.
The horse bridge.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing, Paul Andrews, what difference an inch makes?
Anyway, so, you're listening to the Kent Business Radio Show on the Business Bunker Show, and she's started already.
Isn't it? I'm just saying, a couple of inches makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
All I'm going to say is woolly mammoth, and I'm going to leave it there.
Oh, that's below the belt.
You're certainly right.
Flo and Co anyway, and I hear that Snake Hips goes there quite a lot.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you want to find out about the glamour regime of Snake Hips from Tenderden, follow him on @SSnakeHips and you'll find out.
Listener, I have no idea what she's rambling about, so we will ignore her. We would like to hear from you, the businesses of the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us is to tweet me.
Yes.
And you can tweet me @VanillaWeb, and we will read out your tweet. So do give us a tweet, and we will read it out. And we've already had 40 or 50 tweets in, so do keep them coming, and we will read them out. But for the moment, do you know what, Jules? I think we'll start with an email.
Let's do that.
Yeah, go on then.
Silent Movies. That was your era, wasn't it, Paul Andrews?
Silent Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buster Keaton.
Yeah, Buster Gut. Silent Movies and Music Night in Canterbury. This is on the 7th of June. It's the Kent Creative Arts, and they're proud to present Silent Movie Night. It's an evening where music and silent cinema come alive. It'll be at the Gulbenkian Theatre in Canterbury on Saturday the 7th of June at 7 p.m. And some of the films that they'll be playing will include, of course, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd, Charlie Chase and Paul Andrews.
No, it won't. You made that up.
And the first one will be The Scarecrow with Buster Keaton. That's from 1920s. The Champion with Charlie Chaplin. And that's 1915. The Goat with Buster Keaton in 19... They must have sat up hours thinking of that one.
Yeah.
With Buster Keaton in 1921. And Never Weaken with Harold Lloyd in 1921. And also The Business Bunker Show with Paul Andrews from the 1920s. And April Fool with Charlie Chase.
Do you think there's a theme going on here? Yeah. Do you think she's on a theme?
Do you reckon they have a little organist and everything there? I suppose they do.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, tickets for the Silent Movie Night are on sale www.thegulbenkian.co.uk, or the box office is 01227 769 075. Tickets are £18 per person, £12 for students. Not 1920s prices then.
No, they're not.
It would have been, what would they have been, a farthing or something?
Probably. Something like that.
And what would you have eaten and drunk at those dues?
Bag of chips, bottle of pop, day at the theatre, change from a halfpenny.
Yeah, and a faggot maybe.
We've had some tweets in. Don't encourage her. Don't encourage her.
Who tweeted?
We've had a tweet from the lovely Liz McNaughton.
Oh, I love Liz.
Yeah, and yes. She says, hi guys, could you please shout out for a Bromley-based charity, Advocacy First, World Cup Walk, which is taking place on the 8th of June 2014 at 11 a.m. It's a gentle 7 kilometre walk around Blackheath and Greenwich Park. Blackheath and Greenwich Park. If you'd like to find out more about that, I suggest you give Liz a follow on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is JustBubs. That's Just Bubs, B-U-B-S, Just Bubs, all one word. And find out more about the Bromley-based charity Advocacy First and their World Cup walk. We've also had a tweet from Bounce About Kent that says, hi, Business Bunker, if you need to hire a bouncy castle, and Jules certainly does need a bouncy castle, in Kent, then check out bounceabout.uk.com. We're based in Maidstone. That's bounceabout.uk.com. So thank you for that, guys. And I think Jules will read another email.
Love the way you smack your lips between reading.
Yeah.
The Avante community support is successful in the Kent County Council's recent tender for home care services. Avanti Partnership.
That was your phone. Switch it off.
You're like a barracuda, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's on silent. It's just it vibrated against your thing.
Turn your vibrator off. I've told you that a million times on this show.
I'm not going there. I nearly got myself into hot water there. In Kent County Councils, by sounding far too familiar with vibrators, Avanti Community Support is successful in Kent County Council's recent tender for home care services. If you've got a husband like mine that's writing a book for 10 months, you'd need to be. Avanti Partnership is delighted with this news as they are passionate and committed to delivering personal-centred care, recognising that everyone is unique, especially Paul Andrews.
I am certainly unique. And there is no doubting about that.
Different needs and requirements, Paul Andrews. Our home care service provides compassionate and personal care and support services for people living within their own homes. So there have been these awards have been in five localities within Kent, and that means they're continuing to provide services for KCC clients in Canterbury and Coastal, Dartford, Gravesend, Swanley and Swale, whilst moving into two new geographical areas, Ashford and West Kent. So well done, guys at Avanti. If you wanted to look at what they're doing with care in the homes, especially, www.avante.communitysupport.org.uk.
Cool. I'd just like to give a big shout out for today's show sponsor, who are fruitbowlmedia.com. Fruitbowlmedia.com, the web design agency based over there in Canterbury at the Fruitworks.
So lovely George, lovely Tony.
George, Tony, Jamie, and all the crew over there, thank you very much for sponsoring today's Business Bunker show. Again, it's much appreciated.
Is that the Jamie of New Potatoes tonight?
It is actually, yeah.
New and unsigned bands?
It is indeed.
9 p.m.
Worth
New a Potatoes. Listen.
Certainly worth a listen. I'm going to read this just to save you the pain.
Okay.
Yeah, because we've had a tweet from Gerard.
Oh, Yakimavicius.
Gerard Yakimavicius. Say it again.
Yamavicius.
Gerard Yakimavicius has tweeted in and he says, good day, Vanilla Web. He doesn't mention
you. Has he gone Australian?
No. He says, no.
Good day.
He's Lithuanian. And he doesn't mention you because you can't say his name and I can.
I can say Gerard.
He said, good afternoon to you, young man.
Young man.
And he just says, I'm listening in. So, welcome, Gerard. Thank you for that.
Hello. I shall be seeing him at the tweet up at the Hotel Continental on the 15th, which is this Thursday, isn't it?
Would that be the Whitstable tweet up?
Yeah, kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk if you want to find details.
At the Hotel Continental?
Yeah.
Beach Road, Whitstable?
Yeah.
10 a.m?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
You have. You've been. I've seen you there, frolicking.
Oh, okay. Is it any good?
It is. It is very good, especially when Gerard's there, of course.
Absolutely.
There's a good crew that go there.
Yeah. Are we doing some dipping? Having a paddle?
Yeah, we might have a little paddle and a bit of lobster, perhaps.
Really?
Maybe a skate cheek.
A skate cheek?
If you're lucky. I had a skate cheek on
Friday. Did you?
Friday.
I thought you were looking peaky.
I had a bit of a ruck with someone, though, because I went to...
No! Really? You have a ruck?
I don't know. I've got a bit curmudgeon.
Chel surprise.
I had a lovely dinner at Wheeler's Oyster Bar. That's right. At Wheeler's OB, and with Serenity Becker and Mary Nutt, her sister. And then we'd had three bottles of Riverford Prosecco in there.
That was a bit remiss of you. And then only a three-bottle lunch.
We staggered.
You normally do a five-bottle lunch.
We staggered out to have the rest of the bottles at the deli, which is in Harbour Street.
You just vibrated again. Stop it.
I know. It's again leaning against the wall. I'll put it against the cakes. And then the girls carried on with more wine, and I wanted a glass of water. And I asked for a glass of tap water, which I wanted to drink so I didn't get a hangover. And she didn't run the tap, Sally.
Hold on, let's work this out. Three bottles of Prosecco, one glass of water. That'll work. Yeah, go for it.
But you know when people don't run the tap and it's sort of out the boiler?
Yeah.
And so I sipped it and it was not very nice and probably had a dead pigeon in it or something. And Mary sipped hers, not very nice. So I said to the girl, very sweetly, don't forget we bought wine, big glasses of wine.
Is this going to be a rent?
It might be. And I said, would you mind just running the tap? And I smiled, you know.
Uh-oh, that'll do it.
And she ignored me. She completely ignored me.
Yeah, but when you've had three bottles of Prosecco and you start smiling, people get worried.
I said it very sweetly, and then and she ignored me, and that outraged me, because I knew she'd heard me, and she pursed her lips. So I said it again, sweetly, and then Mary chipped in as well, and so she got us two glasses and slapped them down. Not good. Do not go into the food industry if you're not interested in smiling at people and listening to the customer.
Thank you for that. Did you get cold water eventually?
Over my head.
Yeah. Good. I'll tell you what, read another email.
I will. Are you bored?
Yeah. I was sending me to sleep that.
Carting for Heroes. This is from the fabulous Jeff Kelly, who's the commercial director. I'm going to read you out the website, so get your pen ready. He just wants to take this opportunity to update all the Business Bunker listeners on this year's event and let you know that if you haven't already booked a team, they still have a few places left and it's not too late to enter. And this year's event is looking like the best ever attended Karting for Heroes. 28 teams confirmed so far, with a mix of old, that would be Paul Andrews, and new, enter with the usual mix of driving abilities, that would be Paul Andrews.
That wasn't nice, was it?
And experience. No. I wonder if snake hips will go in. Which should make for some entertaining and close racing this year. So to all of you set for this year's grid, the response and support for the event has already reached approximately £3,000 worth of items, which are generously donated to the auction and raffle. So there are a few bargains leaving the clubhouse on that night. You can follow them on Twitter, and that's @karting4heroes. And the website for Jeff Kelly and guys is www.kartingfor4heroes.com. This is in support of Help for Heroes. And there's also another website, which is www.hydraquip.co.uk.
Fabulous.
Sounds
Thank
like a good
you.
One.
Yeah, keep the tweets coming. We're getting loads and loads of tweets. We're up to about 100 now already, so do keep them coming, and we're looking forward to that. We've got a packed lineup of studio guests for you to hear from shortly in the show, and we've also got the last of our series of recorded interviews from the Women Mean Business Conference in Broadstairs a few weeks ago, so that's coming up later in the show. But for the moment, do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage, Paul Andrews.
We're going to have a bit of tunage, and I'm going to play something here which I thought was appropriate to you, because our guests on straight after the tunage will be the lovely Sally and the lovely Louise, and Sally with her famous drizzle cake. Drivel cake.
There can't be a lemon drizzle cake.
That was a Freudian slip, wasn't it? Sally with her drivel will be on later.
Thanks, Paul.
That's all right.
What is it? A cakey song then?
Well, no, but I know what you're like with lemon drizzle cake.
Do you?
Yeah, so I thought I'd play this.
You seem to know me so well.
Bit of Depeche Mode.
Just can't get enough.
I just can't get enough. just like a rainbow, you know you set me free. And I just can't get enough, and I just can't get enough. You're like the angel and you give me your love. And I just can't seem to get enough.
Temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Sirkin. That was a bit of Depeche Mode. I just can't get enough. Jules' theme tune when it comes to cake.
Well, Sally's lemon drizzle cake, I have to say, is my one weakness.
It is your one weakness,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Just the one.
Yeah. Just the one.
You know, she made the birthday cake and the wedding cake for my new husband and I.
Did she?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
All at once?
I took his banjo round to her house. I smuggled it out and Sally from Whitstable, made an exact replica of his banjo. And then I...
Why is that making me laugh? I don't know why it's making me laugh.
Because you're a little bit smutty, aren't you, really?
Am I?
She means the guitar of CD.
Yeah.
Bit seedy, Paul Andrews. And this.
Well, it's because I know Gavin, and I know he doesn't have a banjo.
He has got a banjo.
And he's got a guitar.
I've seen it as well.
You've only seen your husband's banjo. Do you know that?
There's a new Twitter handle coming up. We think phallic for cakes. But so she made these amazing cupcakes, which were all my colours, which were purple and gold and red, wasn't it? Strawberries on top. Even your strawberries were amazing.
Thank you.
Another strawberries, you know.
Oh, I'll give over. You can't get the stuff. I really don't. Mm. Anyway, it's enough of you. I want to talk to our guests.
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show our first two guests of today. We have the lovely Sally Laker.
Hello.
Hi, Sally. And the equally lovely Louise Henley.
Hello.
Hiya. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Cool. I don't know who wants to go first. I think we'll talk...
Sally's got the giggle.
Yeah. So I think we better talk to Louise first. Louise, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the Business Bunker Show. Louise is the chair of the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
I am.
So welcome to the show, Louise. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and then a little bit about... the Kent Deaf Children's Society and your role in it and what you do. If Jules will stop flashing you in the face taking pictures.
I can't see now.
Oh, no, yeah.
So, hi, I'm Louise Henley and I'm the chair lady at Kent Deaf Children's Society. I am a mother of a deaf boy who is now 8. He was diagnosed as having a severe hearing loss when he was 18 months. It's a long time ago now. And ever since then, I've just been looking to try and ensure that he has everything he needs in order to communicate with a hearing society, basically.
Sure.
And as a result of that, I sort of fell into volunteering for the Kent Deaf Children's Society. Mm. And eventually ended up chairing it, which is great because it means that we can look at all the projects and... look at volunteers and and sort out stuff.
I don't want to put you on the spot because we haven't talked about this, but...
that means he's going to put you on the spot
right away.
Yeah. Do you have any idea about how many people this affects in Kent or in the country?
Okay, so the specialist teaching service in Kent, they work on the idea that there's over 1,000 deaf children in Kent.
Right, okay.
So they're the children that they see, but they have to work to a specific hearing loss.
Right.
Whereas the audiologists in Kent, in East and West Kent, would say the figures of children that they see covering the whole range of hearing loss is probably closer to 1,500 to 2,000. So there's a lot of children.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Kent.
Okay.
I find that the figure staggering, actually.
It is. As I was saying to Sally and a little bit to Louise earlier, I actually have quite a bit of experience of this because my entire family are deaf. What's left of them. A lot of them have gone now because we're all getting a bit old. But all of my family were deaf. And it was one of the last disabilities that wasn't taken seriously, in my opinion.
Oh, that's true.
You know, it was the one disability that people would take the mickey out of. You know, they'd stand behind you talking just because they thought it was funny because you couldn't hear them and stuff like that.
Well, sadly, that's not really changed.
Oh, is it still fairly similar?
Yeah, so we're trying to sort of, you know, break that down, basically, and say, no, you know, enough is enough and come on.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that you can't tell from looking at someone that they do have this issue. And, of course, quite often you can appear to be rude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
People don't look at you when they're talking, and therefore you can't hear them, and you don't join in their part of the conversation, and they think you're blanking them.
And deafness is a spectrum as well. So although you may know someone who wears hearing aids but actually can join in conversations and hear you wherever you are in the room quite easily, you'll have someone else who's wearing hearing aids but has a profound hearing loss and is only accessing slight sound. And, you know, they're lost unless they're looking at your face. But I think as a hearing society, we're not really taught deaf awareness or much about deafness.
No, absolutely.
And therefore, we're not ignorant. We're not arrogant. We're just ignorant of it. We just don't know.
Yeah.
And when we do learn, it's fine. We change our ways. But we're all learning.
Yeah. What used to make me laugh, my dad, bless him, has been deaf since birth. And the amount of people that would come up to him. And because he used to wear a quite a pronounced hearing aid, he doesn't anymore. He wears one of those old NHS ones around his neck because he just thinks it's funny, or something. But people would spot it and shout. And you just think that's ridiculous, you know, as if shouting is going to help, you know. But they would. They'd shout at him, you know, or they'd shout without saying anything, you know. So they shout and just mouth the words, and you just think that's really ridiculous. You don't need to do that.
Are the NHS hearing aids any better or as good as the private ones that you can spend a fortune on, in your opinion?
Well, we're talking about children, obviously, because that's who we look after. Working with the West Kent Children's Hearing Service over in Sevenoaks, I'm led to believe that they actually heavily invest in the best hearing aids available for children. There's a lot of investment there. As you get to 16, you change to adult services, and I don't know what happens there. But for children, they are generally given a very, very good service. That is for the West Kent, where I live. East Kent, I believe, probably adopt the same like cost structures. But
it's like Louise was intimating, though. There's all kinds of levels of this, and there's all kinds of different issues, and there's different things for different things. My dear old dad, bless him, we worked out once that he'd spent nearly £500,000 on hearing aids during the course of his life, because he used to buy every new digital thing that came out on the market. And I wasn't being frivolous. He now has one of those big square block old style NHS ones that he wears around his neck, which isn't cosmetically very pretty, but at 86 he couldn't care less anyway. But the thing is, it's the most powerful hearing aid on the market, but because it's so big and incongruous, younger people especially are a bit more conscious about how they look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they want to wear something that's not pronounced, you know, hidden in their ear or whatever. But the problem with those miniaturisation types, if you are profoundly deaf, is they're not as good in terms of being able to hear. So they look nice, but the function isn't quite there. So you pay your money, it takes your choice to a large extent. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, obviously, the hearing aids are only part of the whole entire issue.
Yeah.
For example, my son has other difficulties. So he has communication problems because of the deafness.
Yeah.
Where he was sort of fluctuated between being profoundly deaf and being moderately severely deaf over a period of time. Sort of in the winter, going to profoundly with the cold, he then couldn't communicate orally or through listening at that time, and then that causes a huge setback. So over time he's got delays upon delays upon delays, and now he prefers to use sign language and he's oral at the same time and you know, lit reads as well. And we find in our family that is actually the better way of communication for him.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, the hearing aids, there's a communication problem, isolation, it is a wealth of problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, one can lead into another.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, from an early age when you get these kind of things. Cool. So tell us a little bit about the Kent Deaf Children Society itself. What's your remit? What do you do? What you know, in what ways can you help people who, one, maybe think they have a problem but hasn't been diagnosed yet, mm-hmm. or people that have been diagnosed and, you know, in what ways can you help them?
Okay, well, the Kent Deaf Children's Society is a volunteer-led and managed group. We only have one paid employee who's the administrator, Jo. She's absolutely fantastic.
Hi, Jo.
Hello, Jo. And basically, we are we receive funding from Kent County Council.
Right.
A small amount of funding to provide events and services for deaf children and their families in Kent.
Right.
But we're always looking to expand our service, and therefore, you know, the more investment that we have, then the more we can do.
Right.
We hold four flagship events a year. Big events normally attended by sort of 200-250 people,
because
we encourage our families, our member families, to bring along their extended family so that the deaf child can grow happily within the family.
Yeah, sure.
And also it exposes the rest of the family to other children who may be communicating through other means, which is very, very important, because if you don't see someone signing and then, you know, it's in your family, it can be a bit strange. We help people who have just recently been diagnosed. We've got a team set up to sort of talk to those families if they want some help. We're very much there for when the families want us.
Right.
Because there's an acceptance period. If you're told your child has got difficulty, you obviously go through as a family an acceptance period, and when you're ready, you know, come and talk to us, come and see what we're like.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we operate.
Right.
We've got summer fun days, and we've got award ceremonies, and we have a Christmas trip, all sorts of things.
Cool. And do you cover the whole of Kent?
Yes, we do. And obviously, as we're volunteer based, we're always looking for more and more volunteers.
Mm.
And then we can set up projects where the volunteers are. So what we find usually is that the parents of our member deaf children want to get involved. See, they understand that obviously education is generally looked after nationally, excuse my stomach. Health is generally looked after through audiology and ear, nose and throat. But socially, to socialise your deaf children and to ensure that they understand they're not the only deaf child in the world, and that if they communicate differently, there are other people that communicate like that, and, oh, look, there's other people that wear these things on their ears, you know, it's actually okay. That's why we're there. So we just encourage families to come and join us when they're ready, and normally what happens is if they're sort of going through an acceptance period and then they may come to one of our events and they see their deaf child light up at the fact that they're not the only one, then they'll become members and they'll come again and again and again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's like Paul said earlier on, when you're young and you start being isolated because of any disability that you might have, it affects your confidence. They're going to parties, you know, get left out, you maybe get bullied. Mm. So nipping it in the bud when they're fairly young, I would think, is what you're trying to achieve.
Personally,
as well,
that's exactly what I think. And also, if a family has to readdress how they communicate within the family, how they liaise with each other, then the earlier that starts, then the better the mental health of the child will be, and obviously their confidence and their self-esteem, it is really, really important.
Huge. Sure, absolutely.
It's always really disheartening it is disheartening, but then it's fantastic when you hear a parent say, oh, my child really did think that they really did think that they were the only one. And I've heard that, and I think, crikey, in this day and age, that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be like that. But it
absolutely
still is.
Yeah, but you said this yourself, Louise, and it's something that I've experienced all the way through my life. Although I'm not actually deaf, well, I am, but I'm not. If you see what I mean. But
so, what are you? Are you hard of hearing in one? Are you hard of hearing in one ear?
What?
Oh, I've heard all the jokes before. It's trouble. Are you hard of hearing in one ear?
Tuesday.
It's the same work with him.
Yeah.
Facetious comes to mind.
Yes, I am hard of hearing. My hearing is really poor, but as I was explaining to Sally off air, ever since I was born, I've had tests because all my family were deaf, and they're always fine. And my question is, if my hearing's fine, why can't I hear anything? And they go, I don't know.
I know, it's a strange story, and I don't know why that is, but yeah, you're not the first.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about me. What's the age range that you kind of have in your organisation?
We are newborn through to 18, right, and okay. Due to a change in the National Sensory Needs Programme for Social Education and Health, we may be looking to go up to 25.
Okay.
But anyone who's got a child with a statement of educational needs will know about this SEN reform that's going to come out in September, which will cause all the commissioned groups to be reviewed, etc., over the next couple of years. But yeah, basically 0 to 18. Mm. And we welcome anyone and just hope that people come along and try us out. And
sure.
You know.
I mean, it's an interesting area as well, because technology has played quite a large part in a lot of it. And a lot of new technologies come along, you know, through induction loops and all kinds and hearing aids themselves and all kinds of other things that you can get, you know, specially adapted telephones that flash and vibrate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it is an area that can be helped in that way.
Absolutely.
To some extent, in terms of trying to normalise a lifestyle as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most amazing things I've heard recently is there's we work very closely with the National Deaf Children's Society, NDCS, and we're one of their local groups, so we have a very good relationship with them. But I was at a conference of theirs. They launched a new concept recently, because you have teenage deaf children that need to go to the doctors, but they can't go on their own because they don't have a interpreter. And so they take their parents along, and you have sort of embarrassed 16, 17, 18 year olds who want to talk to their doctor about a personal problem, but it's all got to go via
don't
their
want
mum.
Your mum yeah. there. No.
It's not cool. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
And actually, but then that goes on, that goes past 18, all right. the way up, because, you know, you need to have someone there. So there's another charity, I think it's Sign Health, actually, that have piloted in Scotland, a service where actually you have the interpreter on the iPad.
Right,
so
okay.
you take
oh,
them
wow.
you take them to the appointment, because to use interpreters are fantastic, but I'm not quite sure how it works. They're very expensive, and I'm not sure how it works, but so you take the iPad along and you book your appointment, and that's how it works.
Idea.
So it's always changing, and I think that's fantastic.
So the interpreter is on the iPad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does the person doing the interview look at the iPad?
Well, the person, the doctor as such, would talk.
Right.
And, you know, it would be like a FaceTime type situation.
Right.
So they're interpreting what they hear.
Excellent.
No, I get that.
It's all changing, and it is wonderful. And when I speak to my friends that are deaf adults, you know, technology has just changed so much.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, for the best, definitely.
Cool.
And what about music, listening to music?
It would depend where your hearing range is.
Okay.
But I know, for example, for the deaf adults, there was a fantastic, much talked about club night at the O2, I think it was a couple of years ago. But the floor vibrated. It was for deaf adults.
Yeah. It was all sensory.
The lights, and they said it was absolutely amazing. But I don't think that's regular, and I think that's a real shame.
Yeah.
So maybe
that's
something else we can look at.
Yeah, maybe when my son is, you know, older, I'll be pushing that a
There's
lot
opportunities,
more.
Yeah. Opportunities to do things. Yeah.
That's two vibrations we've had in the show so far.
I should have played a bit of good vibration.
You
really,
should have done,
We've got a vibration theme show now. Cool. We could talk about this for a long time. Sadly, we're running out of time, though, Louise. Give us a shout-out for your website, Twitter handle, Facebook page, or any other way that people can get in contact with you.
Okay, so contact Kent Deaf Children's Society, which is also known as KDCS, at www.kdcs.org. You can email us, office@kdcs.org, and we have a closed Facebook group because we've got...
But you're on Twitter, and you're KDCS1. Number one.
Oh, we are. That's
on the Twitter.
So good of you.
Yeah, it's all right. All of those things are actually on the Kent Business Radio website. So if anybody wants to follow up with any of those, there are links to all of those on the website. And the Kent Deaf Children's Society also has an entrance, not that they know about this. We have a community page on the Kent Business Radio website, and they are actually listed in there as one of the organisations to follow. So
thank you very much.
So do, if you want to find out anything more about the work of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, you can follow those links on the Kent Business Radio website. Louise, for the moment, thank you very much for sharing that with us. We're going to talk to Sally now. A little bit about football.
She comes bearing cake, though.
We're going to talk about football, and then I'm also going to remind her that she's got to do a shout out on behalf of KDCS, and then we're going to talk a bit about her cakes.
Okay.
But especially,
what should we do first?
Well, especially while you two chat.
Yeah.
And Paul bats his eyelids at you because, you know, he loves a lady and he loves cakes. I'd like to say a big thank you to What's Up Cupcake, who sent me six. I don't know what you've told them about me, Sally. Six huge, beautiful, fresh cupcakes.
They're for you and your new husband.
And my son, Shay.
And your son.
He's doing his A-levels.
So there's only six?
Will they get home?
So there's one for Shay and one for Gavin, and only four for you?
Yeah.
Blimey.
And gluten-free as well.
Blimey. Oh, thank you very much. And they're in Harbour Street in Whitsun. I shall be mincing in to see them.
Cool. So, Sally, tell us a little bit about Kent Deaf Children's football.
Yes, we've set up a football club in Whitstable, and it runs on a Monday night at the Whitstable Sports Centre from 5:30 to 6:30. It's for 5 to 12-year-old deaf children and their siblings, and it's £1.50 per child if anybody would like to come. We call it the Skills and Drills Deaf Children's Football Club. But everybody's welcome. There's all kind of abilities there and deafness there, and all the children have a fantastic time, and it's a great way to... for them to play with other deaf children and for the parents to meet as well and chat, which is also really important as well.
Ah, cool. It's really good. And we're great supporters of that here on the Business Bunker Show, and we've mentioned it a few times. So if you do fancy that, do get along. Even if you don't fancy playing football, it doesn't matter, does it? You go along.
So are you looking, Sally, for businesses to help sponsor these as well? With kit and things, or
I think you'd need to talk to Louise about the sponsoring. But you know, we do have a sponsor from Cactus Security, and they sponsor us. And we also have Herne Bay Youth, who've come on board as well, and they're helping us out with very things. You know, trying to get it all together and kits and things. So that's great. So thank you very much to them.
Cool.
I think we would welcome any sponsors for all of our other projects.
Never turn down money.
Absolutely not.
That's a good maxim to live by.
We would always welcome sponsors. Cactus is our first one, and it's working very, very well.
Brilliant.
And we're very grateful to them. So, yeah, if anyone wants to follow the lead, get in contact.
Mm. So, big thank you to Cactus, and anybody else that fancies getting involved at any level, I guess, as a volunteer or a sponsor, then do get in touch with the ladies and the folks at the Kent Deaf Children's Society. So, Sally for cakes.
Yes.
All those lovely cakes. Award winner.
Do you like cakes, Paul?
I don't, actually.
Oh,
I don't
no.
ever eat cakes. I'm on a permanent diet, and I
does look very slim, I've got to say.
I do like cakes, I just never eat them.
My husband says exactly the same. He doesn't want any of the cakes.
Does Glenn not eat cakes?
No. Neither do my children.
I
think
it's
the thing. It's like working in a chocolate factory, isn't it? You think it's heaven to work in a chocolate factory, but you'd hate it after a while.
Oh, I never would.
So. No, there's two issues here, Sally. One, I'm trying to not put on too much weight. And two, I work with Jules. So any food that arrives within 10 yards of the car park, it's like
siphoned up.
Yeah, it's like an asteroid in space. It gravitationally attracts things, and it just sucks all the food into Jules before anyone
now
gets
in
there. Now
I'm getting my own back, because when I go for luncheon with Mr. Vanilla Webb on an occasion, he's a very fast eater, so he, in my defence, I think he eats as much as me at times, but he gobbles it really fast, still eating.
We went out for lunch with David Essex last Friday, didn't we, on the Friday before?
Yeah.
At his tapas restaurant in
Whitstable. English is in Harbour Street.
And I ate one patatas.
Oh, here we go.
And a meatball, and the rest of it was gone, and we had 18 dishes.
That's so not true.
Defend yourself, Jules, quickly.
Yeah, I actually chew my food. You see, but he's like the boa constrictor where you see that, you know, the pig going down a hole. I chew 90 times each meatball.
That's
a lot. Are we back to that again?
Yeah, that's a lot of mastication.
Anyway, back to the cake.
Yeah.
What was the most unusual cake, is the most unusual cake you've ever been asked to make?
Probably, I always say it's the zombie Muppets. They were zombie Muppets eating Miss Piggy and surrounded by stormtroopers shooting them.
Who
as they
asked
were doing
that?
I can't say.
Your famous TV client.
That was very strange. That's very strange, yes.
And what was the cake that you have most disliked making ever?
I couldn't possibly say. I love all my cakes. I love doing cakes, so I don't think I'd dislike any of them.
Oh.
No, they're all good.
Oh, I love good. That. So what projects are you working on at the moment?
We're coming up with some demos that we're going to do in Quite Contrarian Tankerton. And on June the 6th, we're going to do How to Ice a Cake. June the 20th, it's Simple Sitting Icing Figures. And June the 27th is How to Make a Sugar Rose.
Hang on, simple sitting icing figures. That doesn't mean we're sitting down simply. That means you're making
these simple figures that go on a cake made
cake
out of icing.
Cake talk.
But do go into Quite a Contrarian if you'd like to book in for that.
They're lovely people, aren't they?
They are lovely people, and they will give you all the details. And I'm also doing an icing nozzle demonstration for cupcakes. So if you'd like to know how to ice a cupcake and like to know which nozzles to buy. Now we're doing that in Copperfields Cookshop in Whitstable on the 28th of June from 11 till 2 p.m.
Is that Kim Foster that's just taken over?
It is, and it absolutely looks fabulous. Absolutely looks amazing. So yeah. Definitely pop in there and have a look. They've got all new products and everything, and I just want to buy the whole shop when I
wow.
It's fantastic stuff.
Very quickly, because we're fast running out of time, and there's a couple of things I want to mention here. Don't forget the video that you've got to mention.
Yes, Justin Dean from Creative Motion. Thank you so much for helping us out. You're going to do a video for us for the KTCS, and he's going to come along to our Summer Fun Day and do a video. So thank you very much, Justin.
Well, he's really worked with
the guys from KTCS. Kent Deaf Children's Society actually won that on the Business Bunker Show.
We did, thank you.
I spoke to Justin yesterday. It's all set up. It's all good. We're cooking on gas with that one.
You will love it as well. He does a fantastic video. And
very slick.
It's very slick, and he's a very good video producer. So it's going to be a cracking video, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
He's chucked in some freebies as well, so we're very happy.
He's a good lad, Justin. So do give him a follow as well, Creative Motion.
Yes, thank you, Justin. And can I also say that I'm going to do some food blogs as well on the Bald Hiker website, and he's www.baldhiker.com. If you'd like to follow me on there, then I will be doing regular food blogs for the Bald Hiker now.
And who is the Bald Hiker? Should I know?
He's Paul Steele, and he does lots of travelling, and he does blogs about his travelling, and he's followed by lots and lots and lots of people.
He's asked
me to do blogs, but there's also a blog on there about my cakes if you'd like to read it on the creative section. But yes, thank you, Paul, for asking me to do that.
Brilliant. And then lastly, sadly, Sally, you won a bit of an award recently.
I did. It was for making cakes.
tell the listener what it was for.
I won Home Base Businesswoman of the Year.
Wow.
Brilliant. Yeah, well
thank
done.
You very much.
Yeah.
That was Jules.
Yeah.
I had to stag up and collect the award, of course, because you were on another gig.
Yeah, so I was at a KTCS function, so unfortunately I couldn't go. But Jules very kindly picked it up for me, and thank you very much. I was so surprised to have won, and absolutely delighted. So thank you very much, everybody.
Very well deserved.
No, it was massively well deserved. Well done, Sally, and we were really made up for you. Jules and I were there at the presentation, and we did lots of whooping and whistling, didn't we?
Yeah, well, once I'd clambered up onto the stage, which was the hardest bit.
Did she mention Lemon Drizzle whilst you were
She
up
did,
there?
Yeah. I had to give her a bunk up onto the stage.
I wish I'd come.
Yeah. And while I was shoving her up onto the stage, because she was a bit worse for wear by the time they were handing those out. Yeah, she just kept going, "Where's me lemon drizzle cake?"
But it was
all done in the best possible taste.
Yes.
But where is it? Because I've been round to Sally's and seen how hard she works. You go round, she's got about 10 cakes on the go, and they're all piled up on a work surface.
And always covered in icing sugar as well.
Yeah, but the presentation also of your cake is, I mean, you eat, breathe and everything, those cakes, don't you?
I do love cakes.
Yes, you do.
But you never get bored of it. I never get bored of it.
So
no.
Impressive. You just keep going, and they're still they get better and better.
She's an artist. She's an artist.
A cake artist.
Cool. Look, thank you so much for joining us on Business Bunker.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having us. We're absolutely delighted to
absolute
come.
Absolute pleasure. Give us a shout for your website as well and your contact details. Sally for Cakes on the Twitter. Sally number 4 Cakes on the Twitter. What's your website?
And the website is www.sallyforcakes.co.uk.
Is that with a number 4?
The number 4.
Yeah, Sally number 4 Cakes.
And I've also set up a cake forum. It's called the Cake Forum.
How did you think of, however did you think of that, Sally? That must have taken hours of thinking that up.
It's called Cake Forum, for everything to do about cakes, I think. It's on Facebook, and it's for all kind of cake makers. So if you're into making cakes and you want to share your cakes with people, or you want to ask questions about how to make a cake, and you want it to ask privately to other cake makers, then do ask me if you want to join this forum, because it's really good. We've got nearly 200 people on there now, and everybody talks about cakes and gives each other advice, and it's really good. It's
fabulous.
Working really well.
Cool. Sally, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Louise Henley of the Kent Jeff Children's Society, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being with us.
Thank you, Jules.
Do stay with us for the remaining part of the show, although I know you guys have got to shoot off fairly soon. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope. We've had hundreds of tweets. We've got another guest to talk to, and we've got some recorded interviews. I'm going to read a couple of tweets, and then I'm going to play some recorded interviews. We've had a tweet from a new follower, Elephant in My Handbag. Is this a friend of yours, Jules?
Yes.
Elephant in My Handbag, and they are saying, Elephant in My Handbag is an online fabric and ribbon shop in Hawkhurst. And you can find us at our website, which is elephantinmyhandbag, all.oneword.com, elephantinmyhandbag.com. And if you use the code hashtag business bunker, you'll get 10% off of anything you buy. So thank you for that, guys.
Any elephants?
Yeah. And you can follow them on the Twitter as well. Their Twitter handle is Elephant Bag.
I suppose it's good if you want to make a trunk call.
Oh,
very good.
Tusk. Sweet Cheeks Stefani has also tweeted.
Skate Cheeks.
Sweet Cheeks.
Oh.
She says, "Hiya, Vanilla Web. As you have such an awesome radio show that loves sharing Kent business, please can you shout out for my up-and-coming relaunch?" So you can find out about Sweet Cheeks Stefani's relaunch by following her on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is sweetcheeks_SE. sweetcheeks_SE. So do give her a follow. We've had a tweet from F Keys, the Microsoft training people over there on the Medway. No, they're not. They've moved. They're in Canterbury now, aren't they? They're based in Canterbury.
Oh, that's right.
F Keys. And we've also had a tweet from the Breakfast Friends at Seven Oaks, who say, "We thought you had the England manager on."
What? Oh, yes.
Because we've got Mr. Wayne Hodgson on later.
The other Hodgson.
Yeah. It's the better Hodgson we've got on. Yeah. So, yes, folks, stay tuned for that. And we've had a tweet from Straight Talking Events, who said, "Take a look at our fab new website. We would love to know what you think. It's called straighttalkingevents.com. Straighttalkingevents.com. And whilst we're talking about charity football, Lee from Ancorian's Football Club has also been on, saying he's listening to the Business Bunker Show and thoroughly enjoying it. And still, after all this time, Sammy the Starfish Marigold Glove has not got a sponsor.
Oh, come on, guys.
Come on, sponsor the glove. I think they should approach
Sammy.
Marigold. See, I think they missed a trick. I think calling it a starfish when it looks more like a marigold blow-up glove. They could have got sponsorship out of Marigold. I'm sure they could have done.
Yeah, because you aren't blind. You may be a little bit deaf, but a little bit mutton deaf, but you're not blind, are
you? But it looked like a Marigold glove. I didn't know it was a starfish, did I?
Well, because you don't wash up much around here. That's probably...
Oh, yes, I do.
You're not very au fait.
And Stuart Carpenter is also listening in.
Oh, I love Stuart. You know, he's going to do a LinkedIn presentation at the Kent Business tweetup.co.uk.
Is it?
At Lenley's, which is off the top of my head on the 29th of May. It's always the last Thursday of the month at Lenley's.
Cool.
Free parking. Roper Road, Canterbury.
Good. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah, so LinkedIn, if you want to know about LinkedIn.
What we're going to do now is I'm going to play some pre-recorded interviews that we recorded 3 weeks ago in Broadstairs at the Women Mean Business Live Conference. And then when we've heard that, we'll be coming to our next guest, Mr. Wayne Hodgson of Red Eagle Recruitment. So have a listen to this, and then we'll be back shortly. This is Paul Andrews reporting live for the Business Bunker Show at the Women Mean Business Conference in Broadstairs in April 2014. There are more than 100 businesswomen here today in attendance, and there are a range of exhibitors and a fantastic lineup of speakers. We're hoping to interview as many of the female entrepreneurs as we can today to find out more about them and their businesses. Hello there, who do we have here?
Laura Amy.
Hello, Laura Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What brings you to Women Mean Business Conference today?
I'd like to meet more women and hope to inspire them confidently with their clothing.
Fabulous. So tell us a bit about what you do.
I'm a fashion designer and dressmaker. I make bespoke outfits for women, either for weddings, bridal wear of any attire, business suiting, casual wear, or costumes.
Fabulous. So you design and make this yourself?
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing. How long have you been doing that?
I've been working for myself for 4 years, but I've been studying fashion for 14.
Wow, you don't look old enough.
Thank you.
So you do design and, is it called couture? Is that the right word?
Basically, yeah, haute couture. I went to uni and studied couture design. I studied that for 3 years. And I basically design it. I then make a toile, make the patterns to fit the customer perfectly.
Fabulous. That sounds brilliant. Where are you based?
I'm based in Rochester.
Oh, in Medway Towns. Fabulous. And how do we get hold of you if we want to find out more?
You can contact me on my email, which is laura@designsbylaura.co.uk, or I have a Facebook page, which is lauraamybespokedesigns.com.
Laura Amy, fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to hear about your business, and we wish you much success.
Thank you.
Hello, what brings you to the Women Mean Business Conference?
I think it's a great place to meet like-minded people. I came to the last event. It was very interesting. Good speakers and good opportunities to network.
Fabulous. So tell us your name and what you do.
I'm Carol Partington from Atlas Travel, and I'm a personal travel advisor.
Okay, so you help people sort out their holidays and travel arrangements?
Yeah, and that can be from theatre trips to London, or, you know, around the world tour to South America and Australia. It can be anything.
Oh, fabulous. I need to talk to you. I haven't had a holiday for ages. As well as holiday-type destinations and event-type destinations, do you do corporate travel?
Yeah, absolutely, because we get involved in consolidating flights, so we can actually help businesses save money when it comes to travel.
Okay, fabulous. So it's a kind of bespoke service. Can I come in and go, I want to go on holiday, I don't know where?
Yeah, absolutely, and I can try and give you advice, find out what is on your bucket list. Everyone has one.
Right, okay, so you go, well, clear off Isle of Wight or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. On your bike. Yeah.
Exactly, I like it. And then, of course, if I know exactly where I want to go, you can put an itinerary together for me. Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can also advise things that you might not have even thought of.
Oh, wow, sounds good. Yeah. Fabulous. So how do we find out more about you, Karen?
We're on www.atlastravelltd.co.uk, and it's the same URL on the Facebook site and our Twitter account.
Brilliant. We will follow you on the Twitter. We will look at your website and people can
I'm
follow
Catherine
up.
I'm Catherine
Lloyd. We'll put a link to your Hello, website. Catherine. Lovely to meet you. What brings you to the Women Mean Business Conference today?
I've come here to meet lots of new people and to do some networking during the day, because I'm used to getting up very early to go to breakfast meetings, and it's a nice change to come to something over the middle of the day.
I absolutely agree with you on that. I really don't like breakfast meetings. I'm not an early morning person. This is perfect, isn't it?
It's lovely. It's great. And there's a fantastic group of people here as well.
Absolutely, indeed. There's more than 100 businesswomen here, which is fabulous. So tell us a little bit about your business.
I'm a distributor for the Utility Warehouse Discount Club, which means that I can help people save money on their utilities, both at home and in the office, and also on the shopping that they do.
Wow. Tell us more.
On the shopping. So we have two ways of saving cashback with shopping, and that is with a fantastic cashback card, which works in store in 35 different shops and restaurants, places like Sainsbury's, B&Q, Pizza Express, all kinds of places. And also online, there's 2,000 different places businesses online where you can save money on travel, on tickets, on things that you're buying, even on eBay. So I'm looking for people who like shopping but who would also like to save some money on that shopping as well. And the money comes off your monthly utility bill. So you get lots of well-known businesses basically to pay your household bills, which I love. It's fantastic.
That sounds really good. So if people want to find out more about that, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, which is www.iLoveTheClub.biz. So that's B-I-Z at the end. iLoveTheClub.biz.
iLoveTheClub.biz. Fabulous. So who do we have here? Thank you so much.
Celia Ransley.
Hello, Celia. Lovely to meet you. How are you finding the Women Mean Business Conference today?
It's my first event, but I've very much enjoyed it, and I've learnt a lot of things this morning and met a lot of good people.
It's been fabulous, hasn't it? It's a great turnout of people, more than 100 businesswomen here, and some fabulous talks as well today.
Yes, some very good talks, very interesting subjects, and things that perhaps I wasn't totally familiar with, so it's been very useful.
So a learning experience too.
Yeah, huge learning experience, yes.
Fabulous. So tell us a bit about your business.
Okay, well, I'm an estate agent, but a different sort of estate agent. We sell country and equestrian properties with an acre plus, and they can be small holdings, kennels, catteries, as well as livery yards, stables, or private residences.
Wow, that's an interesting business. How did you get into that?
Well, I've got a passion for horses myself, and I've always been in sales, so the two sort of seem to fit together, and I always quite wanted to be an estate agent, so that's how the two came together.
Wow, that's really cool. And where are you based?
Well, I'm based in near Sandwich, and we cover the whole of the South East, which includes Kent, Surrey, Sussex and Hampshire.
Wow. Okay. So it's quite a big patch you cover.
It is.
But I suppose you've got a specialised business.
So. Well, we have. So it's a niche market. So there's not necessarily thousands of properties out there. Having said that, there is a lot of equine properties out there. So.
Yeah. I've seen that quite a lot. And, of course, people do have special needs for things like that. You know, they want that kind of property.
Yeah, they certainly do, and they come to us because they're looking for a lifestyle change, and that's why they come to Equus, which is the name of the company.
Okay, I mean, do a lot of people see that as a business rather than just somewhere they live, or you know, how does it work?
No, they don't necessarily see it as a business. They see it as an opportunity to take their horses out of livery and to have them at home, so they can get up in the morning, look out the window, and there's their horses in the field.
Wow, cool. So how do we find out more about your business? What's your web address?
Our website is www.equusproperty.co.uk.
Fabulous.
Hello.
Thank you so much
here
for joining us.
Hi, I'm Jane Wallace.
Hello, Jane. Nice to meet you. What brings you to the Women in Business Conference?
Well, I have my own business. I'm an image consultant, so I help women become more confident about the way they look. There's lots of women here, obviously, so it's fantastic to meet different people, learn about different businesses.
Fabulous. So you're an image consultant. You help people portray themselves in a particular way. Do you tend to specialise in just image in general, or is it for business or all kinds of things?
It's all kinds of things. It can be anything. It can be someone who's just changed their job or someone who's retired. Quite often it's a lifestyle change. It is also obviously for businesses, so you know, it's a bit cliched, but you are your business, so it's about dressing appropriately for what you do, and it is a real confident thing. I do think, you know, sometimes people say it's a bit shallow, but if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you look good. So it's about being confident in what you wear.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. That sounds fabulous. If we want to find out more about your business, how can we get in touch with you?
Well, I've got a website. It's www.houseofcolour.co.uk. And if you do a / Jane Wallace, it'll take you straight through to my page. I'm also on Facebook. So again, it's Jane Wallace, House of Colour on Facebook.
Jane, thank you very much for that. Enjoy the rest of the conference and lovely to meet you.
Okay, thank you.
So, here's another one of our lady entrepreneurs at the Women in Business Conference. Who have we got here?
You've got Nicola Tolson here.
Hello, Nicola. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Paul.
We met last year, didn't we, at this conference?
Indeed. I support Christine in a lot of the events that she puts on in Kent. Absolutely wonderful.
They are fabulous events, aren't they? There have been more than 100 delegates here, some really great speakers and some brilliant networking.
Absolutely. Well, it's connecting people and helping people to move their businesses forward, whatever problems or joys they're having, just as a shared experience.
Cool. So why don't you tell us a bit about your business and what you're up to?
Well, I've been involved for 20 years with what I do. It's an international franchise, fruits, vegetables and berries, juiced, reduced to a powder, put into capsule or sweetie. We've had over 1 million kids have free fruits and vegetables in this format last 15 or so years as part of an international health study. But right now, I've got a very exciting prospect for anybody listening in Kent, which is to transform yourself in the next 30 days or any 30 days that you choose. And if you want more information, just come through to me, because this is more than just a lifestyle change. This is going to change your income. It's going to change your shape. It's just going to change everything you've got going on in your life.
Fabulous. So how do we find out about that?
You can find me on 07855 445920. That's Nicola Tolson. Or I can get Paul to give you my website.
We will put a link to your website on our website later.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to see you again. Do enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Jobsinkent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on this Tuesday, May the 13th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. That was the last of our series of interviews recorded at the Women Mean Business Life Conference in Broadstairs 3 weeks ago. A fantastic lineup of over 100 lady entrepreneurs, and it was a great, great event organised by Christine Holmes, and it's an event we attend on a regular basis, and we hope to be invited again next year. And I hope you enjoyed those interviews. We've had a gazillion tweets, we've got a bazillion emails, and we've got another fabulous guest to talk to. I'm going to read a couple of emails, a couple of tweets, and then we're going to talk to our next studio guest. We've had a tweet from Vintage Kent, who says, vintagekent.co.uk is a searchable directory of vintage businesses and events in Kent, and it is free to be listed. So that's vintagekent.co.uk. Do check them out and have a look. And we've also had a tweet, and I can't find it now, from Squarries. Where have you gone, Squarries? I've got it. Squarries Westrum.
Yes.
We are hosting a sparkling business breakfast on the 20th of June as part of SquarriesCelebration.com. Mm. And Squarries is spelled S-Q-U-E-R-R-Y-E-S. S-Q-U-E-R-R-Y-E-S. SquarriesCelebration.com. All one word, that's their website. And Squarries is a fabulous country house over there in Westrum.
It is, and they have their own boating lake. And I'm really looking forward to June the 20th and 21st for their lovely festive goody sort of weekend.
Cool.
I have to say, from Sally for Cakes, a big hello to Becky Ball, her hairdresser. So hello, Becky.
Hello, nice Becky. Felicity Dunderdale, do you want to play golf? There's an event for women in business on the 11th of June, and it's with Caddy Lee Preston, the lovely Caddy Lee Preston, at the Tudor Park. That's in Bearsted, just outside Maidstone. And you can find out about it by following Felicity on the Twitter at 4_women, 4FORE_women. Do have a follow of that. And the lovely Alex Waterton of F Keys says that F Keys and ADM Computing are at the Kent 2020. Come and talk to them about your business. I think Kent 2020 is tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes.
Do get along and say hello to those guys. And the lovely Karen Thomas from Breathing Shore is listening live to the Business Bunker radio show and saying she's enjoying it very well. So that's Breathing Shore. So do give her a follow on the Twitter. I can't keep up with all these. We've got a million tweets. Do keep them coming. But I'd much rather talk to our studio guest now.
I would. He's from Whitstable, you know.
He is indeed from Whitstable. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show for the first time, Mr. Wayne Hodgson. Hello, Wayne.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. First off, thank you both for inviting me down here today. You've got a lovely setup here, so thank you very much.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Little disappointed, though, as I knew there was a cake lady coming on, so I purposely didn't have any lunch. Didn't bring me any cakes.
Oh, no, but you can share my box.
Fabulous.
Yes.
There's an offer I can't refuse.
Absolutely.
As you finish your interview, you get the top pick.
Fabulous. Let's get this over and done with then, because I'm starving.
But not the gluten-free ones, because they're all mine.
Okay.
Wayne is Chief Executive of Red Eagle Recruitment. Why don't you tell us a little bit about
it? It's a posher title than I use, but yeah, basically, I own Red Eagle. It was a business that was started by myself and my wife back in 2004. So we're celebrating our 10th anniversary this year, later in the year. Wow. Hopefully having a big party, gala dinner for lots of our clients, which invites will be going out soon.
And where will that be?
That's at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, so I've been to a couple of events there before. It's a fantastic venue, so looking forward to doing that.
Cool. So where are Red Eagle based?
Red Eagle's head office is in Folkestone.
Right.
We've got some subsidiary offices in Dover and Crayford and Thanet, basically based at some of our larger clients, so they're kind of on-site offices, but we also sort of deal with localised recruitment in those areas as well. But as a business, we supply the whole of Kent and South East London.
Fabulous. So do you specialise in one particular area in terms of job type, or how does it work?
Predominantly, Red Eagle focuses on unskilled and semi-skilled labour. So that can include factory operatives, manufacturing, HGV drivers, outside manual work. So that's the kind of industries that we focus on.
Okay.
So,
are you predominantly placing temp or permanent, or is it a mixture of both?
It's predominantly temporary worker. We do work with clients for permanent positions, but I would say 95% of what we do is temporary labour. So that could be with clients that need one guy or one, you know, one person ad hoc every now and again to cover some holiday sickness. But we also work with clients on a large volume scale, so supplying hundreds of workers a day into their businesses. So
right, okay. Do you get involved in bussing these workers about? Is that part of the thing you do?
That used to be. Historically, how an agency like ours would operate. But one of the things I look to do is, when I set the business up, I used to work for an agency before I set my own company up.
Sure.
And that business did operate about 5 or 6 minibuses as a fleet. Massive overheads, lots of administrative headaches, etc. So we as a business chose from day one not to operate minibuses, look to use people with their own transport or that could car share.
Yeah.
So no, we don't have any minibuses, we don't provide transport. So everyone that we send to work gets their own way to and from work.
Yeah, okay.
And it's helped us manage the costs, and we that allows us to be more competitive in the marketplace as well. So.
Yeah, fabulous. And you say you were founded in 2004?
2004, yeah, sorry. November 2004. So as I say,
literally,
10 years this year is quite unbelievable for us, really, because obviously when we started the business, as any independent business does, you don't look that far ahead. You start the business, you want to be successful, obviously.
Yeah.
So looking back, you know, it's going to be fun at the end of this year, hopefully celebrating with lots of clients and colleagues. And looking back, you know, we may even drag out some old 10-year-old photos of what we looked like then, just to embarrass ourselves.
Sure. I want to get some thoughts from you on the recruitment marketplace. As you know, it's a marketplace that I'm heavily involved in as well.
Yes.
And it's one of my pet things that really kind of annoys me, but I'd like to get your take on this. My experience of the recruitment of employment, not just the recruitment market, but employment in general, is there's actually an awful lot of work about.
Yeah.
And even during the recession, there was quite a lot of work about. And people get very confused by this because they see the number of people unemployed and they assume there are no jobs. And I'd just like to get your take on that.
There's lots of controversial answers.
Yeah,
there is work out there, and it's, you know, it can sometimes be a certain type of work.
Yeah,
and you need to have the desire to want to work.
Yep.
To start with, and once you, if you're successful in getting a position, is apply yourself to that position, regardless of what it may be.
Yeah.
You'll find that some people think that certain jobs are below them or beneath them, or. Yeah. Or that they can maybe generate revenue from not working and not be as better off as they think they should be.
Sure.
That was my politically correct answer.
Yeah,
I was trying to sit on the fence.
Yeah, no, I understand. Because one of the things that I see quite a lot, and again, I want your feedback on this, is I think the whole job market has changed quite a lot in the last 10, 15, 20 years. And now the way that you find a job has changed quite a lot as well. And I don't think enough people understand the right way about going finding a job. You know, I see thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of CVs, and the bulk of them are rubbish.
Yeah.
They're just awful. And I don't think people actually apply themselves too well to actually trying to find a job, because they assume that throwing CVs at the problem will solve it, and I don't think that's the case. But I'd like your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously get inundated with CVs and applications, and it's quite amazing sometimes how you know, basic errors on a CV, from you know, grammatical errors, but through to very simple basic spelling errors, and they just jump off the page to me.
Yeah.
And you think, well, you know, you haven't spent enough time in you know, going through the CV and making sure that it's correct. But also, there's nothing wrong in, if you're applying for a certain job, is looking at your CV and actually gearing that CV towards the position you're applying for. And
exactly.
That's not about fabricating, but you can describe a job that you did in a number of ways. And if you're applying for a certain job that requires, you know, a certain skill, you can focus your CV or your application or your covering letter, you know, specifically for the job you're applying for. It also shows that you're taking an interest in the job that you're applying for and actually being specific about it. We receive CVs and applications, and you can tell they've sent the same covering letter and the same CV out to 50 jobs, and it sort of bears no relevance to the advert that we may have may have put out there.
So. No, I agree 100% with that. I totally agree with you. That is my big beef as well, that you should tailor your CV to what you're doing. And as you say, one of the things is nowadays, because it's easy to do it, you should do it. You should do a bit of research on what you've applied for. I had a classic the other day. Somebody said to me, I need to find a new job. I need your help. Now, I'm not a recruitment consultant, but, you know, I said, well, you know, this is what I recommend you do. And they came back to me a little while later and said, you know, I didn't get any response at all. And I went, well, you kind of need to tailor your CV, really, for each thing. Well, you know,
I can't be bothered or I haven't got time to do it.
Yeah. And then a week later, I got a message from them saying, I just got an interview for a job through your site, through Jobs in Kent. And I went, oh, brilliant. He said, I've no idea what the job's about or why I applied for it, because it doesn't look like one I want.
Yeah.
And you think, what are you doing? You know, get a grip.
Well, I've got, you know, I'm not going to go into the big story about it, but a similar incident occurred where we were interviewing for an administrator, and one of the applicants come in, sat down, and we started the introduction, and she didn't actually remember what the job was that she was there for.
Oh no.
A little bit awkward, but you know, recovered the interview well. There's another story there to tell another time, but it was you know, it did shock me a little bit, but again, that's you know, it didn't surprise me in a way, because I know that a lot of people are looking online or looking for a job, and they literally apply, just click apply, and attach a CV. They're not really reading the advert. They just see it may be similar to something that they've done previously, or maybe in the salary bracket that they're looking for. They click apply, attach the CV, and move on to the next one.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately, you know, what does happen a lot.
Yeah, far too much, and you're right, and that's the problem. Okay, let's talk about some more specific things. You're 10 years old. Happy birthday to you. And you say yourself and your lady wife run the business.
Yeah. Well, me and my wife set the business up. My wife's not involved full time anymore. Still goes out and sees a number of our customers on a regular basis, and maintains that client relationship there. We've got an additional director called Will Cotter. He's our ops director, so he runs the kind of day to day operations of the business, and he's my kind of right hand man, really. If you want to, you know, coin a phrase.
Cool. And roughly how many people do you have out at any one time?
It can range depending on seasonal peaks, but it ranges from 750 to 1100 people per week.
Wow.
So that's how many people we're payrolling.
Right.
So yeah, and that's predominantly in Kent, but that equally we've got a few clients on the sort of outskirts of South East London.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So a pretty successful business all round.
Yeah.
You've done 10 years, which is a massive, massive achievement for any business.
Mm.
Just because I like doing stuff like this.
You're going to ask me for my next 5-year business plan.
I
left it in the car. I'll go and grab that in just a minute.
Well, it's a case.
As you see me leaving the car park.
While you're thinking about that, one of my favourite statistics, because I spend a lot of time, far too much time, out arguing with people on internet sites about things like this. And there's a lot of talk at the moment about a lot of people not liking the fact that Pfizer want to buy AstraZeneca and stuff like that, and trying to get the government to stop it or to interfere. And you know, there's a great thing about, all, you know, it's a shame to lose a British business, whatever a British business is.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, in 1955, which is the year I was born, 87% of the Fortune 500 companies listed on the exchange at that time no longer exist. 87%.
Yeah, so, quite a scary thought. So longevity in business is what people look to try and achieve, but it's you know, that is one of the hardest things, is maintaining the consistency.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sit here today with a 5-year business plan, but some of the models that we're looking at, you know, some of our biggest contracts are on-site volume clients. So we will work with a factory that has a large requirement for labour, set up an office on-site and actually become integrate within part of their HR and planning department. Mm. And what we want to do is we've, you know, we're comfortable with how we operate those projects. So we want to expand on that really. So it doesn't really increase our overheads hugely, because we're not going and opening big new branches. We're just looking for the sites and the clients with that need and looking to see if we can replicate what we've done for a number of our other clients. So that's a growth area for us that we're looking to concentrate on over the next few years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What about hospitality and catering, that sort of thing? Do you go into
that? That's not currently an area that we do, but I have been in talks with someone. I'll move back onto that in a second. Well, I set up a joint venture with someone last year and set up a construction recruitment agency called Site Labour Supplies, and that purely supplies labour onto construction sites. And I have spoken with someone over the last couple of months about doing the same thing in hospitality and maybe running it as a separate entity, because there is a need for it. And I know a lot of agencies do hospitality as part of their business. I would like to look at maybe doing something where we've got a specialist division or unit that focuses purely on that, so that we can be a little bit different, and rather than saying we do it as part of what we do, have a team of dedicated people that are sort of knowledgeable professionals within that industry. So
absolutely. And it's interesting what you were saying about your non-5-year plan. because you're absolutely right as well. The recruitment industry itself has changed radically in the last few years as well. Once upon a time, agencies such as yours set out to have a whole number of offices in almost every town and village around.
It's like I mentioned earlier about minibuses. You know, the firm I used to work for, you know, they had 6 branches.
Yeah.
And lots of minibuses running around. And, you know, I tried to, when I set Red Eagle up, look at the areas that I thought I could improve. You know, you tweak things in terms of what you've learned. Yeah. And that was another area. So we didn't use minibuses. And I thought, hang on, I can do this predominantly from one location. Yeah. So we've got our head office in Folkestone, but we spur off with on-site offices at large clients, so keeping the overheads down again.
Yeah, and now agencies that were doing it the old way have actually started to copy guys like you and have started to shut down their...
You can look at some of the big names on the high street, and they've actually got less high street branches now. They may not have reduced in terms of their business size, but they've certainly reduced their number of high street branches. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So... 10 years.
You're putting pressure on me now. You're going to say, what are you going to do for your 20th?
Yeah, I was actually
going to. It'd be very nice to get to 20 years. But, you know, we're focusing on, as I say, having a celebration for 10 years. We've got all of the team are excited. It's going to be a black tie event. We're invites are going out to the customers in about a month or so's time. Right. I'm still organising some of the entertainment for the evening. But it should be...
Paul Andrews will do a little number for you.
I don't want to be outshine on the night. That's the trouble. So...
Cool. And that's November that's taken.
That's November, and as I say, details are coming out to our clients soon about that.
Okay.
And we'll be inviting everyone from Red Eagle, and as I say, the other business venture I've got, which is Site Labour Supplies, which purely focuses on the construction industry. Right. And so that's only just coming up to its 1-year anniversary. So, you know, that would be a celebration in itself for that.
Fabulous. So from your point of view, going back to your core business with Red Eagle, What's the main source of the type of work skills that you're looking for? What kind of things are you in demand?
We work with a number of clients that can focus from, as I say, unskilled to semi-skilled labour. So the unskilled labour could be factory operatives either working in the food or manufacturing assembly line work. So again, it's just someone, you know, people that are interested in going to work regularly can turn up on time, and when they're at work, apply themselves to the tasks in hand. Mm. Everyone gets provided with training and inductions. The work is not in itself too difficult for people. It's about the, as I say, applying yourself to the task. Right. And then we have other skills where we're working with a number of clients that require soldering operatives, for instance. So again, very intricate work, and we need people that have got soldering experience
and eye coordination.
Used some of that equipment in the past, so they're not walking into an environment and it's all new to them. So there's opportunities for all sorts of people out there, and we've got job opportunities throughout the whole of Kent.
Fabulous. That's cool. We could talk about that for ages, Wayne. Sadly, yeah. We're coming towards the end of the programme. Do stay with us for the last 5 minutes or so of the show.
Thank you.
For the moment, give us a shout out for your website, yep. and how people can follow you and get in contact with you.
Okay, the website is www.redeagle.jobs. Nice and easy, redeagle.jobs. And our Twitter is @redeaglejobs.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so thanks, and come and visit the website, get online or Twitter, and let's communicate.
Brilliant. Those links are on the Kent Business Radio website. You can always find them on there. They will be there on this show number 173, and they'll also be in the general purpose website as well, so you can find those links. And as Wayne says, you can give them a follow on the Twitter as well, @RedEagleJobs, so do that. And I know for a fact, because I've seen them, you do tweet out job opportunities occasionally as well on there.
Yeah, as you know, we use Jobs in Kent as our main online board for all of our adverts, so as and when we see the jobs coming live on that Twitter, we retweet them, tweet our own jobs out, so you can keep up to date with all the local vacancies that really you've got on Twitter or via our website.
Fabulous. And we wish you much and continued success for your next 10 years in business.
Thank you.
And we will look forward to the 20th anniversary Big Bash, which will be
you will get an invite to that one.
Yeah. And we look forward to that. But Wayne Hodgson, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do stay with us for the last 5 minutes or so of the show, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks. And Jules, get the cakes out.
Yes, you can choose anyone as long as it's not the gluten-free one.
So while Jules and Wayne are tucking into the cupcakes, I'm going to read some more of these tweets we've got in. We've had Rise Communications, who said, "Good afternoon, Paul. How about a shout-out for Rise Communications? We're a new PR and marketing events company, and we're based in Maidstone. And it's my absolute pleasure to give you a shout-out." So that's Rise Communications. And you can follow them on the Twitter @RiseComms. RiseComms, RiseComms, on the Twitter. So do please give them a follow. That's the lovely Joe and Sarah, I happen to know. Stephen Jenner of GDS Steve has said, "Poor old Sammy the Starfish."
I know.
Isn't it about some time somebody sponsored him?
Neglected.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will soon.
There's been some quips from BeFast Radio. Have you seen those? Quips.
Oh, quips.
Paul Andrews. About he wants to know whether he wants to ask Wayne at Real Hodgson whether they what format they should play in Brazil, 5-3-2 5-3-2. I don't know anything about football, or 4-3-3.
That makes two of us. I am one of the Hodgsons that has no idea about football, so you're asking the wrong guy, I'm afraid. Forward it on to Roy. I'm sure he can respond on my behalf. Yeah.
I've had an interesting tweet here about Wayne's talk on CVs, and it's from F Keys, who are Microsoft specialists.
Ah.
And it says, "I used to check how people created their CVs." He said, "Using MS Word for senior PA roles and things like that. If you use the show hide feature, it can reveal an awful lot about what people were doing when they created the CV."
Yeah, I've come across a couple of incidents like that see some of the deleted comments and text that they've put in before. So that's can be a bit awkward sometimes.
Really? So what can happen? I don't understand.
Well, a show hide, when you edit a document, it saves the old deletions.
Right.
And if you don't remove that before you send it, which a lot of people don't, if you know how to, you can undo them and see what they originally put.
Okay. So they could just be letting off steam.
Yeah, it could be anything. That sounds like it could be a laugh.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. That was Alex from F Keys following up with that. I tell you what, you can read one of your emails.
Yes, the Culture Awards, they're coming up now in Canterbury. And there is a special award for Kent's cultural icon, which is chosen by public vote. So get ready to choose your favourite and help decide who deserves the trophy. Enter now and vote now. 5 categories, including digital art, best creative campaign, best project involving children. There's one, Sally for Cakes, if you're listening, with Louise, involving children and young people. And also the creative entrepreneur, as well as awards familiar with previous years. You don't have to be a creative to take part. Vote now for Kent's cultural icon. Please visit www.theculturesawards.com, and that will be on Kent Business Radio website, if not already. And also we've got Kings Hill Golf Club in Fortune Way in Kings Hill. There is a core financial services and HR auto-enrolment joint seminar, and this is on Tuesday the 20th of May. Refreshments and a light lunch provided. In fact, not a light lunch, a lunch. 9:30 to 10, and it starts at 12 o'clock, I think. Oh, no, it must mean 10 a.m. start until 12 o'clock, sorry. Kings Hill Golf Club, and the information you need can be got from D. Rutherford at corifa.co.uk.
Corifa.
Corifa. Cool. I love that.
Corifa. You were thinking Spanish,
yeah.
Portuguese.
I mean, brand
Corifa.
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 Corifa. Like a Mexican beer. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
But I should have said Corifa.
Yeah, Corifa.
There is a phone number, 0844 875 5777. Good job it's not in Iktum, isn't it?
Iktum. That's Iktum for the uninitiated.
Those who don't listen regularly.
Yeah.
And if you're involved in HR, you can come to one of the interactive forums, providing a great opportunity to expand your knowledge and learn more from other organisations. This is on the 5th of June. And for example, they're saying, did you know that flexible working rights are changing in June to apply to all employees? This is at Oxford House, Mount Ephraim Road, Tunbridge Wells, TN1 1EN. If you'd like to know more, it's 7:45 a.m. Till 9. I find these very odd the way they do this. I think, I don't know. 7:45 till 9, it's not very long, is it? Anyway.
Just a quick breakfast scuff then.
Yeah. You need to speak to Pam Loch and also the experienced HR professional Julie Nichols from Loch Associates. And there is an RSVP, which is RSVP at lochassociates.co.uk. That's LOCH.
Cool. Thank you. We've had a tweet from ADM Computing. It says, great show from the Microsoft IT support professionals over here at ADM Computing in Canterbury. We love in the banter, and you can follow them on the Twitter at ADM Computing.
Banter? Have you noticed this is a serious show?
This is scripted and
yes,
everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Marcus and Diego of Ambition House, the young lads there, the whippersnappers, May 21st, 6 o'clock to 8:30. Six startups, mobile software technology, pitching for angel seed stage investment, £40,000 to £100,000. Entertainment, wine and food is also provided. It's the first of two events, with a follow-up demo day taking place in September to demonstrate progress over time. This is a private event and you do need to email to find out about tickets. For a full event description, go to www.ambitionhouse.com.
Cool. We've had a tweet from WhatsApp Cupcake who was saying something about why we didn't get notified about tweets. But
oh no, it's because there was a little underscore at the end. WhatsApp Cupcake, Paul Andrews, is American. But if you have an underscore, they're in Whitstable. So it's WhatsApp Cupcake underscore.
Ah, I see.
I did a bit of sleuth investigating.
Ah, right.
During the show.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
During the show, when you just think I'm sitting here gazing into space.
And Liz McNaughton has been commenting on some of the photographs that you've been sending out from the studio.
Oh, lovely.
Saying there's some beautiful people in there. I didn't realise you'd taken a photo of me.
That's just
to
wine.
Be honest.
Wayne. Yeah. Wine. Obviously thinking of our show. Coming to Ashford Town Centre, Friday 16th and Saturday 17th of May, 10 to 5:30, you've got the Artigras. To look at this, I think you're best to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Now, I'm sure Paul Andrews has put everything on there.
Indeed I have.
But it's a centre for creativity and enterprise. And there's also a networking and gallery open evening, which is Thursday the 15th of May, 6 to 8 p.m, which is the eve of the festival.
Fabulous. Well, we're just about at the end of the show now. I've got one last tweet that I can read out, although I've got 14 more queued behind that.
I've got 100 emails. Yeah. Sorry about that.
We've had a tweet from Jackie Groundsell, who is known on the Twitter as 1230 Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E. And I happen to know that Jackie runs a women's networking group, so do give Jackie a follow and thank you for the tweet. But actually, we're at the end of the show now. It just leaves me to say a massive thank you to our guests on today's show, all the ladies that we interviewed from the Women Mean Business show.
Hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds. The absolutely gorgeous Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, and the equally gorgeous Louise Henley, chairperson of the Kent Deaf Children's Society. A massive, massive pleasure to have on the show, Mr. Wayne Hodgson.
Thank you. Very handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Very handsome.
Debonair, clever and smart.
And from Whitstable.
And from Whitstable, chief executive of...
I'm going to use that as my new title.
Yeah, exactly. Global vice president of...
like it.
Yeah, yeah. Of Red Eagle Recruitment. Fabulous. Thank you so much to all of you for joining us on the Business Bunker show. It's much appreciated. Coming up later, we have Mr. Kevin Cam at Extra Milk at 3 o'clock. Then at 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. That's followed by Phil and Jonathan, Dan the Pub from 7 till 9. And then Mr. Jamie Andrews with the fabulous 18 tracks of unsigned music on the New Potatoes show. So do stay tuned for the rest of the day to channelradio.co.uk. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin on the Business Bunker show. We will be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.